Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes. Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and His created world with you. Hey, listeners, I am so excited about the creature that we are learning about today because it is quite mysterious. Some people might even call this a mythical creature, but as we will discover, it is a real animal that God designed. Before we get to this creature, let me ask you a question. Have you ever eaten ice cream too quickly and your head begins to hurt? Maybe you have heard of an ice cream headache called a brain freeze. Today, we are learning about a very interesting creature that experiences brain freeze, but not from eating ice cream. And their brain freeze is much different than a headache. We are plunging beneath the icy Arctic waters to discover God's amazing designs in narwhals. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We will discover, are narwhals unicorns of the sea? What is a narwhal's horn? Can a narwhal get a brain freeze? And how can we stay calm when scary things happen? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, Masterbooks. Today, we will be answering some big questions about whales sent in by our listeners. If you're just as curious about whales, grab a copy of the Wonders of Creation book by Masterbooks at the link in our show notes. Wonders of Creation reveals God's designs all throughout nature in beautiful photos, helpful diagrams, and easy-to-understand descriptions. Listeners, exploring God's wild and wonderful world isn't only fun, although it is a lot of fun, but it also grows our faith. Masterbooks creates curriculum, books, science kits, and resources to help us see God's fingerprints in every area of our lives. Every book and resource by Masterbooks is created to help your family grow together in faith, wonder, and wisdom. Visit masterbooks.com and explore their books and resources created to help you journey through life by the light of God's truth. It's time for our trivia question. What is a group of narwhals called? A, a school, B, a herd, C, a pod, or D, a flock? Again, what is a group of narwhals called? A, a school, B, a herd, C, a pod, or D, a flock? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's episode. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, click over to the bonus video. We will discover how narwhals use sound to see and find their way when they dive deep into the Arctic Ocean, where it's completely dark under the water, and why narwhals might be the first prize winners when it comes to echolocation. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, you can dive in deeper with our weekly bonus videos, activity guides, nature devotions, and Bible and nature scavenger hunts. Join the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes and gain instant access to all of our resources. And here's a recent review from one of our listeners. They said, I am so thankful for this podcast. My 6-year-old begs to listen to this every time we get in the car. We have added this to our homeschool science curriculum on days we are out and about. I enjoy listening right along with my kids. So much knowledge and cool info tied in with the Bible. Thank you so much for the encouraging review. Listeners, please take a moment today to leave a rating and written review on Apple Podcasts. All right, let's hit the trail. Maybe you have heard of narwhals called the unicorns of the sea. They get this nickname because of the long horn-type thing coming out of their head, which looks like the horn on a mythical unicorn. We'll learn what exactly that horn-type thing is in a few minutes. But first, let's look a little closer at this unicorn story and unearth some truth. Unicorns are mythical creatures. That means they are not real. They are made up. Here's how the unicorn myth came to be and how the discovery of a real creature, the narwhal, changed how people think about and draw unicorns. A long time ago, back in ancient Greece, there was a Greek physician or a doctor who traveled to distant lands. When he was traveling, he heard stories about the people, culture, and creatures of another distant land that is now called India. One of the creatures that this physician heard about had a horn coming out of the top of its head. What he was most likely hearing about is the rhinoceros. However, he wrote about it a bit differently, because remember, he had never actually seen this creature. And things got a little bit confusing along the way. Have you ever played the game Telestrations? My family enjoys playing this game together. Each person chooses something to draw. They write that thing on the first page, and then on the next page, they actually draw it. They then pass their drawing on to the next person, who looks at the drawing and tries to guess what it is. They write down their guess, and then they hand that guess to the next person, who then has to draw it. You can imagine that after this drawing has been passed along and reinterpreted by several people, that it might not look like the original thing that it was supposed to look like. Recently, while playing this game, I wrote down and then drew the Grand Canyon. And by the time it got back to me, it had become a kingfisher bird diving beneath the water to catch a fish. This is likely similar to what happened with the unicorn myth. The description of a real rhinoceros became a horse-like creature with a horn that was described in a book written by this Greek physician. And the first versions of the unicorns that were drawn were not like the elegant white horse that we often see in stories or pictures. Instead, they were kind of combinations between lions, goats, and deer, with a single horn coming out of the forehead. But then things changed when Viking sailors returned from travels with horns from a real creature, the narwhal. They had likely gotten narwhal horns by hunting narwhals or by trading with Inuit people who lived in those areas. These long, spiraling horns captured the imaginations of people back home. Some people even thought that they were real horns from unicorns. So the unicorn myth likely began with the rhinoceros and grew with imagination and interpretation, and change shape because of narwhals, a real creature. It's a fun way to see how real creatures can inspire legendary ones. So narwhals are not unicorns of the sea. They are real creatures that God designed. But what exactly are they? Narwhals are a type of whale. All whales are in the order or category of nature called cetaceans. Cetaceans include whales, dolphins, and porpoises. And specifically, narwhal are a type of whale. Whales are not big fish. They are marine mammals, so mammals that live in the water. Marine mammals are warm-blooded, have lungs, and need to come up to the surface to breathe. It might not seem like whales have hair, but they do. All mammals have hair or fur, and this includes whales, which also includes narwhals. Marine mammals have live births and nurse their babies with milk from their bodies. While we are talking about whales, this is a great time to answer a couple of great whale questions sent in by our listeners. Here's our first question.
Hi, my name is Isla. I live in Canada. I am 5 years old. And here's my question. How do whales eat fish without swallowing water?
What an interesting thing to think about, Isla. How do whales eat fish without swallowing a bunch of water? Baleen whales, like blue whales or humpback whales, don't have teeth. Instead, they have something called baleen plates, which act kind of like a giant comb or strainer. They gulp in a huge mouthful of water filled with tiny fish or krill. Then they push the water out through those baleen plates. The fish or krill get trapped on the inside while the water flows back out. God designed some whales with extra plugs to prevent water from going down into their lungs. When they swallow, a plug moves into place to block their breathing tube so no water gets in. At the same time, another part of their throat, called the larynx or the voice box, closes up tightly to protect their lungs. These two parts, smartly designed and working together, act like a seal on a bottle. Food can slide down safely into the whale's stomach while the water stays out of its lungs. What about toothed whales, like the orca, sometimes called the killer whale? They close their mouths tightly before swallowing and use their tongues to push out extra water so they only swallow the fish. Thanks for a wonderful question, Isla. Keep being curious about God's wild and wonderful world, including whales. Here's our next question about whales.
Hello, my name is Maya, and I am 7 years old, and I live in Oklahoma. And my question is, how do whales sleep?
I love this question, Maya, because whales have some very interesting ways of sleeping. Whales need to breathe air from above the water's surface. So it might be hard to sleep underwater where there is no air for them to breathe. But God designed them with exactly what they need to sleep underwater and get the air they need. Many, and maybe even all animals in the cetacean category, use something called unihemispheric sleep. Unihemispheric sleep is when a creature, in this case a whale, allows part of its brain to rest, while the other part of its brain is still a bit active and alert. When a whale sleeps this way, it's kind of on autopilot. Its brain is at rest so that the whale can rest, but it's also a little bit alert. So while resting, the whale can rise to the surface and breathe air. This is important because whales actually have to remember to breathe. You probably don't think about every breath that you take, but whales have to think about and remember to breathe. By keeping part of their brain alert while sleeping, they can remember to breathe while taking a snooze. Thanks for the great question, Maya. It's so much fun to learn about whales. They are amazing creatures that God designed to bring wonder to the waters of the world. And the narwhal is a very mysterious whale indeed, because they live where not many people go, in icy Arctic waters around Canada, Greenland, Norway, and Russia. They spend part of the year living under and between large pieces of ice in the water. And narwhals cannot survive in captivity. God designed them to live well in the wild, so you're not going to find any in zoos or aquariums. This makes narwhals a bit mysterious and hard to learn about, but God knows everything about them because God designed them. And the more scientists discover about this amazing creature, the more wonder we uncover. One thing that has long wowed people about narwhals is their horn. But what is their horn and why do they have it? You might remember that a narwhal's horn is likely what shaped people's ideas around the mythical unicorn's horn. But you also might remember that I mentioned that a narwhal's horn is not a horn at all. So what is it? It is a tooth. One big spiraled tooth. It's often called a tusk, like you might think about a tusk on a walrus or an elephant. And it's even made of ivory, just like an elephant or walrus's tusk. A narwhal's tusk can grow up to 10 feet long or around 3 meters long. Can you imagine brushing a tooth that long? Thankfully, narwhal do not have to brush their tooth. Narwhal babies are not born with this long tusk, just like human babies are not born showing teeth in their mouths. Instead, narwhals are born with two teeth embedded in their skull, so not showing in their mouths. One of those teeth will grow into that long spiraled tusk, but mostly only in males. In very rare cases, a tooth will grow into a long tusk in a female. But if you ever see a picture or a video of a narwhal with a tusk, it is most likely a male. In some other very rare cases, both the narwhal's teeth will grow into long tusks, and there will be a double-tusked narwhal. Because it is a tooth, the tusk does not grow out of the narwhal's forehead, like we might see in a unicorn painting. Instead, it grows out of their mouth. What are these crazy teeth for? This question has long puzzled scientists. Remember, narwhals live in hard-to-get-to places and cannot be kept in zoos or aquariums, so studying them can be a real challenge. What we know is this: the tusk is not for spearing fish. It's not essential for hunting, because remember, almost all female or girl narwhals do not have a tusk, and they hunt and find the food that they need just fine. Even though narwhal don't spear fish with their tusk, they likely use their tusk when hunting. Male narwhal have been seen using their tusk to hit fish, to likely stun them so the fish stops swimming away and the narwhal can then swallow it. So even though they don't exactly need the tusk for hunting, it can come in handy. What else might a narwhal's tusk be used for? Some scientists have thought narwhals might use their tusk for communication. And it is very likely that since the tusk grows on males, it is used for dominance and mating. Just like a male deer grows antlers to impress a female deer, the larger the antlers, the healthier a male deer is likely to be. So a female will often mate with a deer with large antlers. It might be the same with narwhal, that the tusk is used to impress females and be more successful during the breeding season. But unlike deer or elk, that sometimes charge at each other using their antlers, narwhals don't really use their tusks in an aggressive way toward each other. They don't battle each other like they're sword fighting. And the tusk seems more useful for stunning prey and for feeling what is around them. But how does the tusk help a narwhal feel what is around them? Recently, scientists discovered the tusk can feel a whole lot. There are up to 10 million nerve endings inside of a narwhal's tusk. Nerve endings send messages from different parts of the body back to the brain. Nerve endings are tiny parts at the ends of nerves that help the body feel things. They act like little sensors in skin or other body parts. Nerve endings send messages to your brain when you touch something that is hot, cold, or sharp, so that you can react and stay safe. Studies are suggesting that narwhals can use their tusk, with all of its super feeling sensors, to sense how salty the water is, as well as how warm or cold the water is. If this is true, it can help narwhals find their way and stay in safe waters. When water freezes, it leaves salt behind, making the water around it more salty. So if the narwhal's tusk senses very salty water, it might mean that the water is extra cold and could even freeze up around them. This helps the narwhal find its way and avoid the coldest areas. So it seems that a narwhal's special tusk has several different purposes, kind of like a multi-tool. And the more we learn about them, the more we discover just how special and amazing God designed these Arctic whales. If narwhals are swimming around in icy Arctic waters, and they have this tooth with millions of super-feeling sensors, and they're snacking on chili fish, do you think they ever get brain freeze? Narwhals don't get the same kind of brain freeze that we do, like a headache if we eat an ice cream treat too fast. But narwhals do have a different kind of brain freeze, and it can be very dangerous and even deadly to them. When a narwhal gets a brain freeze, it's not a headache. Instead, it's more like their brain freezes from thinking. It happens when they are in a panic. Do you know what it means to be in a panic? To be in a panic is when someone suddenly feels very scared or worried and has trouble thinking clearly about what to do. In some cases, when an animal feels threatened, it will pretend to be dead, like a possum. When they do this, their heart rate slows way down and they stop moving their body. When a narwhal feels threatened, it will also slow its heart rate way down, but it does not stop moving. Instead, it begins to move more. It will swim and dart away and dive, but it does this while its heart rate is slowed way down. So two things are happening. The narwhal's heart rate slows down, sending less blood to its brain and around its body. But at the same time, its body is moving very fast and all over, and it needs that blood flow. Scientists discovered this bizarre and dangerous behavior after carefully placing three kinds of monitors on narwhals. First, they placed a heart rate monitor to see how the narwhal's heart rate speeds up or slows down. Secondly, they placed a depth monitor to see how deep the narwhal was diving. And third, they placed an acceleration monitor to watch the narwhal's speed. And what they found is that at the same time that a narwhal is moving very quickly and diving down deep, its heart rate is slowing way down. Why do you think this could be dangerous for the narwhal? When a body moves, it needs blood with oxygen pumping through it. That's why when you run and jump and play, your heart rate speeds up. It's pumping more blood with helpful oxygen throughout your body. But the narwhal's heart slows down, pumping less blood with oxygen. This means less oxygen is getting to its brain, which causes this dangerous type of brain freeze where the narwhal cannot think clearly. The narwhal can become disorientated. Do you know what disorientated means? Disorientated is when someone, or in this case a narwhal, feels confused about where they are or which way to go. When a narwhal tries to escape, while also slowing down its heart rate, a single dive can use up almost all of the oxygen in its body, and their heart rate is not pumping more blood to deliver more oxygen. So the narwhal is unable to keep swimming to flee away from danger, such as a predator like an orca or a killer whale. Even if it's not caught by a predator, this panicked behavior can still cause the narwhal to die. Without enough oxygen in their blood, the narwhal can get too much nitrogen in its blood, which causes something that human divers call decompression sickness, or the bends. And it can be deadly. So why do narwhals get this potentially deadly brain freeze, slowing their heart rates while trying to rapidly escape? Our planet is cursed by sin. When sin entered in, it broke God's good designs. Many things were set off balance. The narwhal's response to danger is an example of God's good creation being broken. We see this in narwhals being chased by predators and responding in a panic that can be deadly. Listeners, it's hard to think about a narwhal in a panic with a brain freeze and unable to think clearly or get away from danger. But it helps to remember that God is making all things new. One day, His creation will be restored to perfect harmony and balance. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 5 say, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and there was no sea anymore. The one who was sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and remember the hope that we have in God who is making all things new. And as we look forward to that day, we can learn an important lesson from narwhals about staying calm when things are scary. Thankfully, we are not being chased by an orca or a polar bear, but we do face frightening things in life or situations that might send us into a bit of a panic. Have you ever had something scary happen and you cannot think clearly? A few things that might cause us to panic are losing sight of a parent when we're in a crowd and not knowing where they went, or getting locked in a room and not knowing how to get out, or having a surprise test or quiz or exam at school that we feel we're not ready for, or hearing a sudden loud noise like thunder or a fire alarm, or forgetting lines during a school play or a speech or a presentation, or seeing a pet run away and not knowing how to get that pet back. I've had situations like these in my own life. I remember one time I was running through the woods with my dog, and she ran off after a deer. I could not find her for around a half hour. Thankfully, I did find her, but I definitely felt panicked during that time. I've had more serious situations where I was afraid for my own safety or the safety of my children. When these things happen, fearful thoughts might rush in and crowd our mind. And like a narwhal, we might get a bit of brain freeze and not be able to think clearly. But listener, we do not need to panic when something scary happens. Instead, we can remain calm, go to God in prayer, and trust His power and protection. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a good mind." Other Bible translations translate this verse as God gives us a sound mind or self-control. What do you think that looks like? It means that God did not create us to be afraid. Now, we do experience fear, but in that fear, we can have self-control and a sound mind, thinking clearly and remembering that God is with us and He keeps us safe. God can help us think clearly to get away from dangerous situations. Where I live in Colorado, we encounter a lot of wild animals. And often where we are hiking, there are signs posted at the trailhead telling us what to do if we encounter a bear or a moose or a mountain lion. The sign says not to run away from the animal, but gives instructions on how to remain calm so you can slowly back away from the animal and stay in control of the situation. That is what it looks like to stay calm when things get scary and to not panic when we feel afraid. So, how exactly can we stay calm when things are scary? Isaiah 26:3 tells us exactly how. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Listeners, it's normal to feel afraid and even panicked sometimes. We face scary situations in a world that is broken by sin. But we don't have to live in fear or panic or get brain freeze. Instead, we can fix our thoughts on God so that when scary things happen, we can keep thinking clearly and remember that God is with us. It's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hi, my name is Eva. I am 9 years old and I live in Texas. And I want to know, do birds have boogers?
That is a fun question, Eva. And pass a tissue, because yes, birds can get boogers. God created human bodies to produce boogers, or snot, to help keep us healthy. Snot has special cells that help keep your body from getting sick. It also works to trap and flush out dust, germs, and other irritants before they enter your body. Many animals, including birds, also produce a mucousy substance that is like a human snot. Birds have a hole on either side of their beaks called a nare. The nares are similar to your nostrils, helping the bird filter air. A bird's snot helps clear away dust or debris. Birds even sneeze when they get a tickle in their nares. Bird boogers are just another way that we see God's clever design throughout his creation. Thanks for your great and funny question, Eva. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. NatTheo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where we will discover how narwhals use sound to get around in the deep, dark Arctic waters and why they might get the first place prize for echolocation. You can find that bonus video at the link in the show notes. It's time to answer our trivia question. What is a group of narwhals called? A, a school. B, a herd. C, a pod. Or D, a flock. The answer is C, a pod of narwhals. Like other whales, a group of narwhals is known as a pod. But listen to this. A group of narwhals can also be called a blessing of narwhals. They are sometimes called a blessing of narwhals because it is considered such a blessing or gift to see a group of narwhals together. And I would certainly agree. Now it's your turn to explore. Learn something new about an interesting creature. With help or permission, choose an exotic animal that might seem even a bit mythical, and learn one special way that God designed that creature. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on narwhals, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review NatTheo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all